eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you.
Welcome to another broadcast from Life Point Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Wherever you are at this point in life, we pray that God will use the following message as a source of help and encouragement as you listen. Stay tuned at the end of today's broadcast to learn how you can contact us for additional resources or to receive further spiritual help. And now, here's today's message.
Last week we started into a look at the book of James. I love the book of James. We didn't get very far because the book of James is just packed full of stuff. Last week we got into the first chapter, focused in on the second paragraph, and those of you who are familiar with the book of James. Understand that it hits on a lot of different topics, and it does it within a short number of chapters, only five chapters. And James was writing to the Jewish Christians who were scattered abroad, and he is very much to the point in his writing. I think I went out, Kelly. So we're going to start this morning toward the end of, there we go, towards the end of chapter 1. And we're going to start with verse 19. So if you got your Bibles, go ahead and open those up. And let's take a look at James chapter 1. We're going to start with verse 19 and read to the end of chapter 1. It's on the screen if you don't have your Bible. James says, "Understand this, my dear brothers and sisters. You must all be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to get angry. Human anger does not produce the righteousness God desires. So get rid of all the filth and evil in your lives and humbly accept the word God has planted in your hearts. For it has the power to save your souls." Verse 22. "But don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you are only fooling yourselves. For if you listen to the word and don't obey, it is like glancing at your face in a mirror. You see yourself, walk away, and forget what you look like. But if you look carefully into the perfect law that sets you free, and if you do what it says and don't forget what you heard, then God will bless you for it." Bless you for doing it. Verse 26. Actually, I'm not going to stop there. Let's stop there because I'm going to save the rest of it for the next time because I'm not going to have be able to get through it all. So you can see here in these six odd verses, there's a lot packed in there. And what we're going to do is just unpack these few verses. We're simply going to look at them and unpack them a little bit. So before we go any further, let's start with verse 19. Which again says, "Understand this, my dear brothers and sisters, you must all be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to get angry." Quick to listen. Are we to be quick to listen about anything that comes out of someone's mouth? No, I think the context here is established actually in the preceding verse, which we didn't read. So let's take a look at it real quick. Verse 18. And it says, "He chose to give birth," talking about God, "He chose to give birth to us by giving us His true word. And we, out of all creation, became His prized possession." So this verse has established the context being that of God's word, His true word. So when James says in the very next verse that we must be quick to listen, he's referring to listening to God's word. Now, another thing to note here is that the Greek word he uses here for listening is more than just receiving audible sound waves. in the ears. It is a hearing by your ears and an understanding in your heart. This is the same Greek word Paul uses in Romans 10:17 when he says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Same word is used there. It is a hearing that includes a spiritual understanding. It is the same Greek word used in Luke 8:18 when he says, so pay attention to how, this is Jesus speaking, so pay attention to how you hear. To those who listen to my teaching, listening as in with your ears and your heart. Those who listen to my teaching, more understanding will be given. But for those who are not listening, even what they think they understand will be taken away from them. By the way, I didn't mention the title. I titled this, The Heart That Listens. So let's move on. James mentions slow to speak. Sorry, I'll move this down a little bit. Slow to speak. How often do we speak out of limited understanding? I do that a lot. We start talking confidently about something because we think we understand and know the truth, but in reality, we would be much better off by being slow to speak. Here's a perfect example of that from my own childhood. That sounds better, Kelly, whatever you did. I'm not echoing anymore. Here's a story from my childhood. I don't share this with very many people, so you're the privileged ones who get to hear this embarrassing story. When I was about 9 years old, my sister was about 11, and we lived in a home together. My mom was a working mom and a single parent, and my parents had divorced, and she was at work, and so we had come home from school, and actually, this was at nighttime, so I'm not sure where my mom was, but I remember it was dark upstairs in our rooms. It was kind of dark, and my sister had a hamster. Has anyone had one of those awful rodents, those tailless rats? Well, she had this hamster that was a pet, and so she had the cage to this hamster down on the floor. But the room we were in, this was an older home, and they didn't have ceiling lights in the ceiling, so we had to use lamps in these rooms. This was a very old home. And so she had a lamp in her room, but the cage she had put on the floor, and she couldn't see it very well. She wanted some more light, so she took the lamp, and she was going to put it down near the cage, but she either took the lampshade off, or we didn't have a lampshade for it. I don't remember, but she had the lamp on the floor by the hamster cage, and she was doing her various things with this hamster. I don't know, playing with it, or whatever, petting it, I guess. And she must just have not been paying attention, because the lamp was kind of between her and this cage, and that she leaned forward without realizing it, and the bulb of that lamp, her chin, right underneath here, where this real soft, sensitive skin is, came right down on top of that bulb and totally burned her skin. Now remember, my mom is not home. It's just my sister and myself. So she, of course, comes running in a panic downstairs, and mom's not there, and she doesn't know what to do, but I'm there, the younger brother. And luckily for her, I haven't learned the slow to speak stuff yet, so I'm quick to speak. So, you know, I quickly think, burn. Okay, what do I need to do? I'm nine. Okay, but I knew of a remedy. And those of you who are kind of homeopathic types and natural, what is a natural thing you get from nature, not aloe, besides aloe, that you might can find in your kitchen? But okay, well, let me tell you what it is. Honey. Now, I knew that honey can work as a natural antibiotic. It keeps the bacteria out, because bacteria can't grow in honey and everything. And so anyway, I had known that people put honey on burns. However, in such a quick moment like that, I wasn't able to recollect the honey. So what came out of my mouth was, you need to put mustard on it. And my sister looked at me kind of like, what? Because she's in big time pain. I said, mustard. She said, don't put mustard on a burn. She's like in tears. And I'm like, yes, mustard. It's mustard. Get the mustard. And so being the trusting, loving sister that she was, and the fact that she was in a panic, she believed what I said, and she went to the fridge, and she got out the mustard, and she began to apply the mustard to her freshly burned skin. Well, it didn't take long to realize that it wasn't mustard. I still wasn't able to bring up into my mind what it was, but we knew it wasn't mustard. So that is an example of how I wasn't slow to speak, and how I spoke out of thinking that I knew the answer. Now, that doesn't necessarily relate to God's word, although it did involve honey, and God's promised land was also known as the land flowing with milk and honey. So there it relates. So, but I do have another example that's a little more closely tied with talking about God's word. I remember when I was a young adult. Actually, I confess I had at least one child, so I wasn't that young, but I still had a lot to learn. And I went to a conference where I was presenting, doing a workshop or something. I went to this conference, and it was a Christian conference on how to minister to teens. And I got there the night, it's kind of in the evening, and I was got the meeting people and stuff. And I got to talking with this young man. And this young man was just really on fire for the Lord, just, you know, very excited, very gung-ho, and had not been a Christian for very long. And we got to talking and stuff, and somehow, I don't remember the details, but somehow we got to talking about music. And it came up in the conversation that his conviction was that any type of modern contemporary music, whether it's Christian or not, if it has any type of music that sounds like, you know, rock and roll or, you know, whatever, it was sinful. For him, it was wrong, and he would not listen to any of it. Well, I had much less wisdom back then, and so I began to engage in this conversation because I was really wanting to help enlighten him that it's not the music, it's more about the lyrics, and there is a lot of wonderful Christian, contemporary Christian music out there with great lyrics that worship the Lord. And so we engaged in this dialogue that then quickly went downhill and turned into more like a debate. And I was really, really getting my blood going in all this. And by about 2 o'clock in the morning, we finally just decided to part ways. Now, I look back on that, and I look back on how I handled that, and I so regret how I handled that, because had I known God's word and what it said about situations just like that, I would have never behaved that way. The whole chapter of Romans 14 gives specific instructions on how I should have treated my Christian brother in that situation. But I obviously had not listened to that part of God's word, or at least not listened with my heart and with understanding. I was certainly not slow to speak. And on top of that, I even did what James tells us not to do next, which is I became angry about it. So he does say, and slow to get angry. James then follows this up with, human anger does not produce the righteousness God desires. Later in chapter 3, verse 18, James says, those who are peacemakers will plant seeds of peace and reap a harvest of righteousness. During his Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called children of God." James continues, if we look at verse 21, he says, "So get rid of all the filth and evil in your lives, and humbly accept the word God has planted in your hearts. For it has the power to save your souls." The Greek word that's translated here as "get rid of," when it says "get rid of all the filth and evil in your lives," is literally to put off, to shed. It's often used in taking garments off, so like filthy clothes. And it's used several other places in the New Testament to describe how we are to get rid of the deeds of the flesh or of our sinful nature. It's used in, it's an act of our will which each of us must initiate. We then must humbly, James says, humbly accept the word God has planted in our hearts. In chapter 4, James makes it clear that God resists the proud, but gives grace or favors the humble. This is how we must receive God's word. Pride and rebellion will cause God to resist us, which is something we cannot afford to risk. We must humble ourselves to truly hear and understand His word. And without hearing and understanding His word, what chance do we have? For it has the power to save your souls. This should certainly line up with God's word in Jeremiah 31, which reads, "But this is the new covenant I will make with the people of Israel on that day, says the Lord. I will put my instructions deep within them, and I will write them on their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people. And they will not need to teach their neighbors, nor will they need to teach their relatives, saying, 'You should know the Lord.' For everyone from the least to the greatest will know me already, says the Lord. And I will forgive their wickedness, and I will never again remember their sins." Let's continue now to verse 22. Verse 22 through 25, James says, "But don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you are only fooling yourselves. For if you listen to the word and don't obey, it is like glancing at your face in a mirror. You see yourself, walk away, and forget what you look like. But if you look carefully into the perfect law that sets you free, and if you do what it says and don't forget what you heard, then God will bless you for doing it." Does that teaching sound a little familiar? It's the word. Listen to these words that Jesus spoke in Luke 6. "So why do you keep calling me Lord, Lord, when you don't do what I say? I will show you what it's like when someone comes to me, listens to my teachings, and then follows it. It is like a person building a house who digs deep and lays the foundation on solid rock. When the floodwaters rise and break against that house, it stands firm because it is well built. But anyone who hears and doesn't obey is like a person who builds a house without a foundation. When the floods sweep down against that house, it will collapse into a heap of ruins." Or perhaps these words of his sound familiar. "Those who accept my commandments and obey them are the ones who love me. All who love me will do what I say. When you obey my commandments, you remain in my love, just as I obey my Father's commandments and remain in his love." No doubt James is echoing the words of our Lord Jesus and the clear teachings. We must be doers of the Lord's word and not just hearers. In verse 25, James mentions this this perfect law that sets us free. And this perfect law was described by Jesus in Matthew 22 when he said, "You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. A second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself." And he sums this all up with this. The entire law and all the demands of the prophets are based on these two commandments. We looked at this a few weeks ago, and we saw how obeying these two commands, faithfully obeying them, when we do that, we are able to encompass all of the Ten Commandments, all of the commandments that are in the Old Testament, and therefore we are free from the heavy burden of the laws that were designed to accomplish these two great commandments. The Old Testament laws were not flawed. They weren't flawed in accomplishing their intended purpose. It was we who were flawed because of our sinful nature. We were unable to fulfill the law. But we also learn that because of Jesus Christ and because of His fulfilling the law for us and because of His death and resurrection, we can now have freedom from sin and death because He has overcome them. And He now offers that overcoming power to us through His Holy Spirit. I want to leave us with this in verse 25. James writes, "But if you look carefully into the perfect law that sets you free, and if you do what it says and don't forget what you heard, then God will bless you for doing it." James uses a Greek word here that is translated "look carefully." I found this to be interesting, that it is the same Greek word that is used in the Gospels in describing each account of Mary, John, and Peter when they stooped and looked. Certain translations say they stooped and looked into the empty tomb. It's not simply a quick glance. Rather, it's an intense, steady gaze to absorb what's seen. If we look at God's Word this way and actually do what it says instead of forgetting about it, James says that God will bless us in our doing. He will bless us in our doing. I think his reference for that statement is likely the first chapter of Psalms, which says this, "Oh, the joys of those who do not follow the advice of the wicked, or stand around with sinners, or join in with mockers, but they delight in the law of the Lord." You can replace that with, "but they delight in God's Word, meditating on it day and night. They are like trees planted along the riverbank, bearing fruit each season. Their leaves never wither, and they prosper in all they do."
You've been listening to a broadcast from Life Point Church in Greenville, South Carolina. If this ministry has touched your life in some way, we would love to hear from you. Just visit our website at www.lifepointsc.org for more information. Or, if you prefer to reach us by letter, you can write to us at P.O. Box 27036, Greenville, South Carolina, 29616, USA. Until next time, may God bless you as you continue to follow Him.
Of my heart, I want to see you.
want to see.